Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, may we not take this lightly. And Father, may we just come in here, put all of our garbage and things that we're holding on to in life, may we set it aside this morning and look to you and just remember that we are here for you and not for ourselves, to bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand.
Oh,
Amen. And so I got to say, this morning, for my three, we are praising the Lord. That's what we're going to say. For those of you who are new here and don't know, our My Three is the time we set aside to pray for those that are lost in our lives, those who don't know Jesus, that are walking around and are walking this life without that relationship with Christ. I mean, we have a hard enough time as Christians at times. Can you imagine doing it without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit in our lives? And I want to share something. This week, one of my own My Three came to Jesus. And I am pretty excited. And you know I have known him for a very long time when the message starts like this. Timmy, I finally gave in. God beat me down and he knocked me down and I finally gave in and I gave him my heart and my soul. And we praise God for those moments knowing that our God hears our prayers. You know, and he wants those, and he wants us to lift others up, and he wants us to be his hands and feet, but we don't have to do it alone. Remember, we don't save anybody, but our Heavenly Father does, and he did it with his son, Jesus. So let's remember to keep pressing in. Let's keep lifting up those in our lives that don't know him, that they may come into relationship with Jesus. So at this time, what I want you to do, as we go to prayer, I want you to think of at least those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. And I want you to lift them up by name to our Heavenly Father. And we're continuing to press in. And it doesn't matter if you've been praying for 20 or 30 years for this person. We are not giving up on them. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we know that you hear our prayers. We know that you want good things for us, but you also want it for those in our lives that don't know you. Father, I pray this morning that you just reach down and soften even the hardest of hearts. Father, as we lift up those that don't know you by name this morning, may you hear our prayers. May you hear our pleas. And Lord, I ask that for each one of us here that you help us be those hands and feet, that you give us those words to speak when we need to speak, and that we know when we just need to be there and to be a light in those moments. Lord, I thank you for all of this in advance. I thank you for what your son did on the cross to make a way where there was no other way. Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue to worship.
It wasn't always hard. But there's a certain season in which I needed to remind myself that I was on the firm foundation. And Psalm 18 says that I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That verse. And even though I knew I was standing on the rock, but it felt like the sands were falling around me, and I know I'm not alone in that. There are things in this world that we cannot control. And sometimes we just feel like we're falling, but the Lord's got us. When we stand on Him, He has us. So we're going to go back and we're going to sing that bridge again.
Darkest day in history.
the earth began to shake.
Church, as Pastor Tim likes to say before he starts his sermon. So if you don't know, I'm Pastor Kerwin, and before I get into our message, let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and it'll all be good. So, Father, we just come before you this morning. We just say thank you that we can meet as a church body, that we can come and learn more about you and what you have for us. Father, we just say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your amazing grace on us. Lord, we just say thank you that you are good. So we give it all to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to talk about yet. So I'm going to introduce you to a person. His name is John Newton. So John Newton, he lived, born 1725 and passed away in 1807. Here's a little history for you. We know this about Mr. Newton. At age 11, he went to sea with his father, who was a commander in the British Merchant Services. Well, this man, we don't know exactly what age, he went to sea at 11 with his father, but at one time, he decided, this is not for me. I do not want to be here. I am out of here. And so he actually deserted his post. Well, if you desert your post, that means you are now a traitor. That means you have no rights. If you desert your post, you are now dead. So he was on the run, and he actually got captured. And they actually sold him as a slave. Well, as a slave, John was brutally beaten up, totally persecuted, had no rights, but he slowly got favor of the captain of that ship that he was on. He slowly worked himself up. He worked himself up being a captain on a slave boat. All the way, you know, he went through all the what he had to do. And now he had his own ship of slaves. He thinks that over the course of his time, he sold over 20,000 slaves. We're going to come back to him, okay? We'll hold that thought, Mr. Newton. So, selling slaves, obviously a huge mistake. Huge mistake. We all make mistakes. We all do something stupid. We all do something crazy sometimes. Thank God that when I was younger and there was no social media, I didn't have to worry about it being posted online. But I struggle sometimes with allergies. Does anyone else struggle with allergies? Yeah. Well, some of the people on the worship team, they know this. But a few weeks back, I was struggling with allergies. You know, it was like Labor Day weekend, and everyone's outside and enjoying the weather. And so I just got allergies up the sinuses, and it was just terrible. Absolutely terrible. I mean, I couldn't breathe. My sinuses were all plugged up. And so I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a sinus rinse. Anyone ever done a sinus rinse? Yeah. I'm not going to do one in front of you because that's just gross. So what you do with a sinus rinse is you take distilled water, you take this little snot sprayer, I don't know what that's called, the sinus rinse bottle, I guess, and you put distilled water in here, and then you take a little packet of whatever this chemical is that the doctor said to use, and you put it in here, shake it all up, and you throw it up your nose, and you squeeze. Well, you see how this label says distilled water? You guys can see all that right there? I did something different. I did not read the label. I used distilled vinegar. Let me tell you this. The pain that went up into my head was excruciating. I've had a kidney stone, and this was way, way worse than a kidney stone. I mean, the burning in my sinuses, and because I was really stuffed up. I mean, I shoved that thing hard with, you know, up my nose, and it was just instant pain, instant pain. We learn sometimes from our mistakes to read labels. A big difference between these two. Big difference. But yes, we learn from our mistakes, and that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today. So let's go ahead and get into some scripture, shall we? All right, let's turn to John 18. John 18. Now, we're not going to, because of where we're at with time and stuff, we're not going to read all of it. But let me just give you a background here real quick. So Jesus just had his last supper with his disciples, obviously minus, and he and his disciples then go to a garden. And this is a garden where Jesus has gone numerous times before, and minus Judas, of course. They were hanging out in the garden, and it starts like this then. And we know that Jesus was arrested during this time. So verse 12, it says this. Then the company of soldiers, the commander, and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus and tied him up. Let's just continue. First, they led him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be better for one man to die for the people. Hold on one second right there, Jamie. This is just a background verse. If you remember, when Jesus was being crucified, they had actually, who should we release instead of Jesus? And this is the man who suggested that. So let's go on. Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. That disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest, so he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl, who was the doorkeeper, said to Peter, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" And Peter says, "I am not." Now the servant and the officials had made a charcoal fire. Because it was cold, they were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing with them. Now the servants and the officials, all right. Now the servants and the officials had made a charcoal fire, yes, standing with them, yes. So it was nighttime, dark. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Let's jump to verse 24, Jamie, 24. Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. We'll go on. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. Remember, it's dark, it's cold. They said to him, "You aren't one of the disciples too, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." Let's go on. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Peter denied it again. And remember, it's dark out. Dark and cold. And what happened? A rooster crowed. A rooster crowed. And Peter knew instantly the mistakes that he made. I mean, most of you know the story of where Peter denies Jesus three times. But to quote Paul Harvey, there's another story. If you go on to John 21, and I'll just paraphrase it for you because it's not on the screen. The disciples are fishing. Jesus had already been risen from the dead and was walking on the earth. And they saw Jesus on the beach, and Peter runs to him. And through the conversation, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And of course, Peter says, "You know I do, Lord." Jesus asks again, "Do you love me?" "Of course, Lord, I love you." "Yes." And the third time, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And of course, Peter says, "Yes, Lord." The same three times that Peter denied Jesus, the same three times that Jesus said, "Do you love me?" Even when we make mistakes, God can restore us. Isn't that a good thing? The shame and guilt that Peter had was immense. In one moment, he says, "I will die for you, Lord." And the next chapter, he's denying him three times. Well, we have this wonderful word in our vocabulary. It's called grace. Grace. So I looked up, like any good speaker, I looked up the grace in the Google Dictionary. So grace can actually be used, obviously, as a name. Is there any grace names in here today? Middle names? Grace can be used numerous ways. It can be used as a noun or a verb for all you teachers out there. So here it says, a simple elegance or refinement of movement. So a sentence like this, she moved through the water with effortless grace. Another definition is courteous or goodwill. And it says like this, at least he had the grace to admit his debt to her. In another one, it's a period official, allowed for a payment of a sum. So if you have a debt, you're given sometimes a grace period. Thank goodness for our home mortgage. It can be used as a short prayer. Before dinner, you know, you say grace. But my favorite is this. It's the free and unmerited favor of God. Let me read that again. The free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Now, you know, I didn't write this because I would never use the word bestowal. But yes, so the unmerited favor of God. Because we all need that. We all need grace. It's simply receiving a gift that we don't deserve. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift." And then verse 9, "Not from works, so that no one can boast." No one can boast. See, the work of salvation, I want to make sure I get this down right. The work of salvation is for God's glory and is not accomplished by human works. The whole process of salvation is not a human achievement, but it is an act of God's goodness. The emphasis is always on Christ, the object of our faith, not on the amount of faith that we have, but if we have the faith. Salvation is by God's completely unmerited favor. Grace is God's gift to us. But because of our sinful nature, we are destined for an eternity in hell. Just like we sang this morning, where we said, hell lost another one. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, then you're no longer going to hell. But hell, remember this, is our default. If we do not accept Christ as our Savior, that's where we're headed. But because Christ paid our debt and then rose from the dead, we now can have eternal life through believing in Christ, and now we receive the gift of grace. Something that we didn't earn, but are we willing to accept it? So imagine this. I give this beautiful gift to my wife. You know, I wrapped it with love, probably a lot of duct tape, but I give this gift to my wife, And she's like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. But it sits there on the coffee table, or it sits there. She doesn't even open it. What good is a gift if she doesn't open it? You can't just say, oh, thank you, and leave it at there. That's what grace is. It's a gift. But you have to choose to receive it. You have to choose to want. You got to rip into that and have grace. You see, grace, once you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is your salvation, and offering the grace for your past and future sins. See, He died on the cross for past and future. But I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Pastor, you don't know my past. And you're right, I don't know. Maybe you were a horrible person. Maybe you were a terrible father. Maybe you were a terrible whatever, brother, sister, mother, father. You don't know my past, Pastor Kerwin. You're right, I don't know your past. Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve to have eternal life. I have so much shame and guilt, just like Peter did. So much shame and guilt for denying his Lord. Maybe that is in your life this morning. But I have great news for you. I have great news. It says this, and we, a lot of us know this verse. It says John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But I love this one. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, so many times we only think about John 3:16. But I've always put John 3:16 and 17 together because they go so well together. Because if you truly believe that God sent his own only Son to die on the cross for you and for me, there's a way out of going to hell. We just have to believe and accept the free gift, salvation, the free gift of grace. So I know this is a short message this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and invite the team up already. Let's go ahead and do this. See, I was, and Johnny, you'll probably attest to this, and anyone else that has ever given messages, there was probably 20 different ways I could have gone with this message. You know, talking about grace, I mean, that's such a huge subject here in church. I mean, this grace, and it means this, and you got to accept it, and your salvation is dependent on it. And it's just like so many different ways. And I know Tim has struggled sometimes too with, well, you know, okay, you're in the shower Sunday morning. And God's like, you know what? Go this direction with the message. I'm like, no, my notes are already done. But we'll get back to John Newton here, but you have to understand that no matter what your past has been, no matter what you have experienced in your life, no matter where you have been in life, God still loves you. He died, he sent his Son on the cross. Before you were born, he died for you. See, we should have been on the cross. We're the ones that were supposed to die. But Jesus, for us, that's who we worship this morning. That's who we give our praises to. So let me go back to John Newton. Wow, my Vineyard days. So remember, I started the message with John Newton. A slave boat captain who had sold over 20,000 slaves. This is his story. One night, in a terrible storm, I mean, he thought all was lost on the ship. God met him. He says this, "On that day, the Lord sent from on high and delivered me out of deep waters. Only God's amazing grace could and would transform a rude, profane, talking, slave trader sailor into a new believer." In 1779, John Newton wrote a hymn. If you turn to hymnal in your hymnal number 202, you'll see on the bottom that John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace. It's right there in your hymnal. You got to understand this. When John wrote this song, slave trading was a very lucrative trade. People made thousands and thousands in the slave market. But John Newton gave it all up because he had an encounter with the living God. Are you willing to walk away from a lucrative career if God says so? Are you willing to give it all up if Christ approaches you and say, "Follow me, give it all up"? Are you willing? As long as I can bring my guitars, I'll go. If God can change the heart of a filthy, potty-mouthed sailor and renew his mind and change him from the inside out, imagine what God can do for each and every one of us. So as we sing this song, Amazing Grace, with my chains are gone, this is a song directly from John's life that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. All your sins and mistakes can be washed away. You just need to allow God's grace and his love to wash over you. And he only asks that you believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. So as I close in a prayer, and as we sing this last song, this prayer, you're more than welcome to pray after me, silently or open or out loud if you want. But if you pray this prayer and believe it in your heart, you will be saved. So let's go ahead and stand. Let's go to prayer. Jesus, I am sorry for the things I have done. I am sorry for doing things my way. I'm sorry for trying to control everything. I pray this morning that you would forgive me. I thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Please make me the person you want me to be. I am saying yes to you, Father. I am saying yes to the life you have for me. Make me new. Make me alive in Christ this morning. Amen and amen. So if you prayed that prayer, I would love to talk to you or let Pastor Tim know. I'm not used to giving a message when Pastor Tim is in the house. Usually I get away with a lot more stuff, but I tried to tone it down this morning. So, again, choose grace. If God can change a sailor, He can change any of us. So choose. Choose life. Choose Christ. Have an awesome week. God bless you guys. We're good.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.